You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
Now, another use for the gift of tongues is the tongue with an interpretation. And this is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 12, it's mentioned. And it's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 12, the Apostle Paul is speaking of these tongues, and he says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." So that's the purpose of these gifts, is for the edification of the church. "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." So in a corporate setting, a corporate gathering of the church, if somebody has a tongue, it doesn't do us any good unless there's an interpretation that all of us can understand. And so that's what he's saying, is there should be an interpretation. So this tells us that, wow, there are tongues with interpretation of tongues. We just read in 1 Corinthians 12 here that some people have the gift of tongues and some have the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Now notice, an interpretation is not the same as a translation. An example of this is in the Old Testament. Remember the story where Belteshazzar is partying with all the cups and everything from the temple? And then a hand appeared and began writing on the wall. And he's like, "Whoa!" And he freaks out and his knees are knocking together, and it says his loins were loosed. He really got scared. And then they didn't know how to interpret this. They're like, "What does this mean?" And then Daniel comes in and says, "Oh, it's mini, mini, tekel, upharsin." And he says, "You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and tonight your life is required of you." Wait, that's just four words. How did you get all of that out of four words? And literally it means numbered, numbered, weighed, divide. Your kingdom will be divided. And so the translation is different than the interpretation, you see? And so someone can have a short tongue, but a long interpretation of what that means. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God." And so that's kind of the parameters that the Apostle Paul put around it. Why? Well, because this church in Corinth, they were coming together and they were just having a good time. If you've ever been with a group speaking in tongues and you feel comfortable with it, it's fun. And they wanted to come and they wanted to do this, but the purpose of the gathering wasn't for that. The purpose was, Paul was saying, look, you're going to have unbelievers coming in and thinking you're crazy if you do this. And not only that, but we're gathering together corporately like this for the edification of the body as a whole, and therefore we need the language that we know and understand to hear from God in that way. And so that's what he says. Now, but there's tongues, and there's tongues with interpretation. And I've been there many times to hear someone give a tongue and someone else an interpretation. My wife had a tongue one time in Colorado in our small group. Someone else had an interpretation, and then it was confirmed because they said, "That's exactly what I was praying about. That's exactly the scripture that God put on my heart." You see, and that's how it works. You get the usage of the gift in faith, and then God begins to confirm it through one, two, others. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. And we go, wow, that was really from the Lord, because we're all excited and edified about this right now. And that's how it works, friends. And so for us, you know, our time that we have carved out for this kind of thing is, one, if you're ever in a small group, it's okay to pause and begin to wait on the Lord for the exercising of the gifts of the Spirit, okay? So like on a Wednesday night, if we're in our small groups and we have our last, 15 minutes, we kind of carved out for prayer, if it's okay for us to be quiet and wait on the Lord. God, see if the Lord has a word for us. And maybe someone will, and maybe someone would have a tongue with an interpretation. We're open to that. And then Wednesdays at the well, we open up our microphone and let people come up and they share. And we've had people share dreams, visions. We've had people share prophetic words. We've had people share a prayer, testimony, things like that. And the body's edified. And we all leave just going, oh, praise God. Isn't God wonderful? He's so good. We don't go around praising each other, but we just praise God together. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, so there's, remember I said there's three uses that I see. One is as a sign. We saw that in Acts 2. Secondly, tongue with interpretation. And now thirdly, the most common usage of the gift of tongues is for self-edification. It's very personal. It's in our quiet time before the Lord, or perhaps under our breath when we're doing worship and getting ready to preach a sermon. Nope, gave it away. Things like that. You see, it's personal to edify ourselves. And the Bible doesn't really have a specific example of this that I know of, where it says, oh, here's someone doing that, but the Apostle Paul talks about it, and there's many people who experience it, including myself. And so let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can look on the screen or open it up in your own Bible. In verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is not speaking of tongues as a sign, and he's not speaking of tongues with an interpretation, but he's speaking of tongues for the purpose of self-edification. He edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. If you get a message from God and you tell everybody what it is in English or in the native tongue of the people of that region, then they will understand. And the church will be edified. So there's tongues for self-edification. And then there's the other gifts for edifying the body of Christ in that corporate setting. Okay? Including tongues with interpretation. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now, the gifts are given by God as he wills. We're going to read about this more. But Paul wishes that we all spoke with tongues. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Why? Because it's more needful in a corporate setting. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, man, the most important gifts are the ones that are going to be used to edify the body of Christ. And so I would rather that you prophesied than you spoke in tongues. Unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So he is distinguishing tongues for self-edification and tongues with interpretation for the edification of the body of Christ. Am I making sense? I hope so. And so it's important for us not to downplay the gift of tongues for self-edification, to encourage ourselves, to build ourselves up in the Lord. But to remember, most importantly, in the corporate setting, we're about communicating the Word of God in a way that's understandable to people. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, the Apostle Paul continues about on this topic and says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Sometimes we forget these sayings. Speaking in tongues was really important to Paul. He did it more than all of them, and he just told them how happy he is that they're so zealous for the gifts of the Spirit. They were really into speaking in tongues. Paul did it more than they did. Why? Because he's going to the next town where they might stone him to death, or they might beat him and throw him in prison for sharing the gospel. You think he had to fight against some fear? Oh, yeah. And when a person is speaking in tongues for self-edification, that is, I think, the quickest way to get into the Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you need to get into the Spirit. Worship God. Worship God. Whether it be in your own native tongue or you're turning on the worship music, you know, it can't just be listening. It has to be actively directed towards the Lord. Worship Him. And it lifts you up out of that fleshy mood. But you see, that tongues for edification, that's what it is. It's worship. Paul says earlier in this chapter 14 that when you speak in tongues for that self-edification, it's directed towards God. It's not to men, it's to God. Of course it is, because nobody can understand it. It's directed to the Lord. And so it's worship to Him. And oh, it just brings us out of that place of fear or anxiety and things like that. And this is why I use this gift that God has given me when I'm going to go to a job interview. I'll be driving and I'll be speaking in tongues. I'm going to go share, you know, they asked me to share at this men's breakfast when I was in Colorado. There's going to be like 100 guys there. And I was like, I haven't taught in a long time, a big group, Lord, and I'm feeling the spiritual attack. Tongues. I got a job that was way over my head. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm like, God, I need you every day for this job. I'd be driving in, speaking in tongues. I need to get filled with the Spirit. I need to get out of myself. I need to have my mouth anointed by your Spirit, Lord God. And so I would speak in tongues. Now, I don't understand when I'm speaking in tongues. This is to those of you who have not, you know, you've never spoken in tongues, and maybe you grew up and everybody says, tongues is of the devil, you know, and those tongue-speaking Christians, you know, kind of thing. It is weird. We can't deny it. From a human perspective, it is an affront to the intellect. And sometimes when you're speaking in tongues, you begin to doubt it and go, am I just like speaking gibberish? And this is like, I even did a test one time. I was driving in my car. I'm like, well, roll the windows up, you know. And I'm like, okay, right now I'm kind of feeling like angry, kind of bad mood, you know. And I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to start speaking in tongues right now. I'm going to see if this really helps me. And so I did, and it did. I was like, oh man, that really lifted me up. Praise God. I feel, it just lifted me out of this. And so it's for self-edification. So he says, again, we're in 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue, in a tongue. So I want to encourage you guys, you know, this, you know, I share these scriptures so that one will know that exercising tongues is of the Lord and it's scriptural. Number two, there are abuses of it. And the flavor I get from Paul is not one of condemnation. He's not condemning here. He's not going, you know, you guys are sinning because you're doing this. You need to repent. He's saying, no, this isn't practical, people. There's unsaved people who are going to walk in and they're going to be turned off by you. Hey, it's just not prudent. Don't do it. You know, yes, it's the word of God. But I think that we need to be gracious with one another when it comes to these things and not be afraid to step out. You know, I mean, I've asked myself and I've been in situations like this where would I rather be at a church where they're afraid of the gifts, they're not promoting the gifts, they're not exercising the gifts, and they're stamping out and quenching the Holy Spirit when someone does something that seems a little out of the ordinary. And we all sit and we're careful and we're just safe, let's be safe. Or do I want to be in a church where, man, the Holy Spirit's moving, people are stepping out in faith, people are, you know, having visions and having dreams and having healings and miracles and, you know, all these miraculous happening. But now and then you need to correct and bring back, graciously and go, whoa, you know, whoa, let's bring it back, you know? The answer to that question is I want to be in whatever church God puts me in. I'm going to love that church. I'm going to love you, and I love you. And we're going to be who God made us to be. But my encouragement tonight is let's not be afraid of whatever God has. Let's be gracious with one another. And let's not be afraid of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Holy Spirit if and when he would move in our midst. And he already has, and he is. But this is good instruction for us. Good instruction. 1 Corinthians 14:39 ends with this. It says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So we certainly do not forbid to speak with tongues, but we desire earnestly to prophesy, that there would be the teaching of the scriptures with prophetic, you know, the Lord is speaking through the word. That's what we want here. We want the Lord to speak through one another, even after services. We're just hanging out. And how was your week? Oh, it was good. What happened with you? Well, that happened to me too. That really ministers to me. Wow, the Lord just spoke through you, you know? Praise God. That's what we want. And then it says in verse 40 here, let all things be done decently and in order. And that was a problem that was happening in Corinth, is that it was a little out of order. It was getting a little crazy in their public services. And Paul's saying, whoa, 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 let's do it decently and in order. Notice here, he says, let all things be done. John Corson says, the Pentecostals do all things. They let all things be done. And then it says, decently and in order. The Baptists, they do decent and in order. And the Apostle Paul is saying, let all things be done decently and in order. Amen? Amen. I thought that was a cool word. Now, as far as the, you know, how do you get the gift of tongues? Well, one, it's a gift. So God's got to give it to you. But I tell you, if you're afraid of it, and if you're not asking for it, and if you want nothing to do with it, God will honor that. Or he might not. But he's going to, it's up to him, right? He's the gift giver. But he will not withhold from you any good thing. He will not. And if he begins to put that desire on your heart because you're just like, you know what, I've heard people speak in tongues or heard of people speaking in tongues. Lord, I think I would like that. I don't want to be afraid of what you have. You talk about it in your scripture. It's for self-edification. I deal a lot with worry and anxiety and fear. And it sounds like this gift might help me with these things. God, will you give me that gift? Will you give me that gift? Remember in Luke 11:13, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so whether it's tongues or prophecy or helps, whatever the gift is, it's okay to put your request in and say, Lord, this is what I want for Christmas. And see what he does. Now we're told in 1 Timothy that Timothy was given a gift through the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And so there is that. There's the laying on of hands. And we're told actually in Hebrews 6 that this is an elementary principle and that it is fundamental in Christianity. He lists some things there, and one of them is the laying on of hands. There's something special about Christians coming and putting their hands on you, on your head and your shoulders and all around you, and praying over you. They're imparting to you love and saying, hey, we love you. And there's this synergy of prayer. Synergy is all the individual parts combined together. And you feel it as they lay hands on you and pray for your needs. But also that you would receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, or that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are all biblical things. Philip, he went to Samaria. He was doing all kinds of miracles. The Lord was doing miracles through him. People were getting saved like crazy. It was amazing. They were getting baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water, becoming Christians. They were Christians. And then Peter and John came over, and nobody had been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. So those two guys started laying hands on people and praying for them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the laying on of hands, when I was ordained as a pastor, well, first of all, when I was in junior high, I received the gift of tongues at a youth retreat. Pastor Louie was the youth pastor. We had our afterglow time. We were in little groups and praying for one another. And he had taught on the different gifts and things. And I was just worshiping God. I was just worshiping God with some other guys. And I actually heard them start speaking in tongues. They were speaking in tongues. And I'm listening to them speak in tongues as I'm worshiping God. And then all of a sudden, it just started to flow out, bubble over, right? I'm worshiping God. I'm worshiping God. Oh, Lord, you're just amazing. I love you. And we're singing the worship songs. And then blah, 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 it just bubbled over, you know? And I've subsequently learned that a lot of people begin speaking in tongues that way, that they're just worshiping God in English, perhaps singing to him, perhaps just in prayer. God, you're just amazing. I love you, Lord. You're so good to me. And then you run out of adequate words and you feel the Holy Spirit come upon you and you just begin to speak in tongues. And to your understanding, it's gibberish. But we don't call it gibberish because God assigns meaning to it. And the Holy Spirit is the interpreter, even though you will never know exactly what you're saying unless he gives you a gift of interpreting. Because if you have a gift of interpretation, God will give you an interpretation even of your own tongue. So it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody else that interprets your tongue. You can have a tongue and interpret yourself. And that's from Scripture. If you go through 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see a line in there that says that he should be quiet unless he interprets his tongue. So there's, you know, an interpretation from the outside. There's an interpretation for yourself, but it comes from God and it's miraculous. So that's how I received the gift of tongues, and I've been, you know, blessed with that ever since. And then again, any gift, right? Timothy with his gifts. The laying on of hands, laying on of hands. So I wanted to share some of those very personal things with you that, you know, maybe that will affect you. You know, maybe you might desire to, you've never spoken in tongues and you know, I want you to know that you're not less than. And this is the point that we're gonna dig into next week. The Holy Spirit had to spend some time on this, I think, perhaps because there's confusion about this, these tongues. It's of God. God wants us to know it's okay, and that if you desire it, that's okay. I had a student in junior high who said, I just really wanted the gift of tongues, and so I went home and I went to bed, and I just started praying for tongues and waiting on the Lord, and for 4 hours I did this, and then after 4 hours she began to speak in tongues. God just blessed her with that, you know? And then she has that for self-edification. But again, nobody's less than. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I've led some people to the Lord. If I were to count, probably this many. I mean, maybe more through, you know, presenting the gospel here from the pulpit or in school, you know, chapels, I always gave the gospel, things like that, opportunities. So I'm not sure. But I tell you, I don't, when I go out and I talk to people, mostly God connects me with Christians and I find myself edifying them and teaching them. It's okay. I'm not less than because I don't have an extraordinary gift for evangelism. Other people do. God bless them. So if we don't ever want to look at other people and think that they're less than because they don't have this gift or that gift, or think that we're less than because we don't and we lack, and we don't want to minimize our own giftings. I think this is an important message for us tonight. But I would encourage you, go after the gifts. Go after the gifts. The Bible, we just read it. The Apostle Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts. Eagerly desire them.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.